A little while ago, in my NHS job, I arrived one Monday morning and I was greeted by my smiling administrator in the office with a cup of coffee, which is always a really good start, isn't it, to the week. Question, well, what did you get up to this weekend then, Louise? And I wonder, at that point, when you're asked that question, what goes through your head? So quite a lot of things went through my head at that point. I thought, well, I did go to church, so I could talk to her about that, but she might find that really boring. Do I say anything? Would she be interested? What happens if she asks me a difficult question? Or maybe she just thinks I'm really strange that I might do that on my Sundays. So I don't know about you, when I have those moments when people ask direct questions where you think, oh my goodness, this is an opportunity, you have to make that split second decision about what am I going to say? How am I going to respond to this? So I did the deep breath and I said to her, well, I had a really good weekend. I had a fantastic time with my family on Saturday. And then on Sunday, I went to church. Pause, silence. What's going to come into the space? And then much to my surprise, she said, well, I went to church too on Sunday. So I was quite surprised. She was quite surprised. And then we had a wonderful discussion about baptism, because she'd gone to church to hear and watch a baptism. Then the moment passed, just a brief conversation over a cup of coffee, a few questions, genuinely taking interest in each other's experiences. And then it passed, and we moved into our work that day. But then a few weeks later, much to my surprise, it happened again. Another conversation. And then over the years that I spent with her, I had lots of opportunities, sometimes very short, not very long, sometimes a bit longer, just to share my perspective and my faith. And I learned a huge amount about her as well. I learned about her family. I learned about her spirituality and her values. And we talked about some really deep things like life and death and mental health. God cares for her still now. I know he does, and he loves her. And I had moments when I was able to speak those words into her life. And then she eventually retired, and I've got no idea what the outcome of those conversations might be. But it was a real privilege to be able to speak to her and to share with her. I wonder if you can identify with that story in your own place that you find yourself. Maybe when you're chatting to a neighbour over the fence, you might get that fleeting moment, or up at the allotment, you might do. Maybe you're with a friend or a neighbour that's really struggling with something, grieving, and you have a moment to bring comfort, the Lord's comfort of words into that situation. Maybe you're talking about the ethics of Gary Lineker and the BBC over your coffee break at work. How do you take that opportunity? What do you say? Because these are amazing opportunities that come our way. How do you feel about being a messenger for the good news? Because at those moments, you become a messenger, this wonderful privilege that we have to share the good news. But of course, it can be quite daunting. I know myself that I find this quite hard to do. The speaking out bit can be quite difficult in our culture. It's quite countercultural to start talking about things of faith and about God. It makes you look different, it makes you stick out, and it can be quite hard. So today is all about thinking about what it might mean to share our faith and to speak out. I found this course really helpful. I've done it before, I did it quite a while ago. It's really good just to redo it actually over the last few months. And I think what's been helpful for me, it reminded me that wherever I go, that's a front line. And I hope for many of you that you've kind of, the light bulb's gone on, that we all have front lines wherever we are, that we have opportunities to share our faith with people. And I also like the elements of the course, which show that sharing our faith is something which is quite rich and broad. We talked about the different areas that we've looked at, the six M's as it's called, and some of you might have the cards that we can share out again if you want one. But just remembering that sharing faith can look different. It can have lots of different aspects to it. So sometimes it's about our character. Sometimes it's about just being practically there, the hands and the feet for someone else. Sometimes it's about choosing to respond in grace and love in situations where it's not there. And I was particularly challenged again by speaking up for justice and truth, because that can also be hard sometimes in our frontline places. But today is all about speaking. And of course, you need all those elements, the ones I just mentioned. They need to be there, because otherwise, when we speak, we can become seen as quite hypocritical if we don't actually live out what our faith is in our actions. But of course, we also need to speak, not just to act. And this is what Paul rightly said when he was writing to his friends in Rome, that everyone who believes in the Lord will be saved. But how can they believe in the one who they've not heard? That's quite a challenge for us, isn't it? So that anyone who believes, everyone who believes, will be saved. How gracious is our Lord? How gracious is God that he is prepared to save everyone who believes in him? But how can they believe? How can they have that opportunity if they've not heard? People on our frontline places, they need to hear the good news. They need to know that Jesus can make a difference. That Jesus is the only one who can make an eternal difference to them. It's a really important message, isn't it, that we have. When I was making the slides, I popped this up and I borrowed it from our Living Village website that David will recognise. But as I looked over that map, I don't know how you feel as you look across our village map. All those houses represented, all the families and single people, older people represented. That they should have the opportunity to hear the good news. It's their choice what they decide to do about that. But if they don't hear, they can't choose. It's quite a challenge for us, isn't it? Do you want to pop the next slide on for me, Barry? So what does evangelism actually mean? It's quite a bit of a scary word sometimes when you start to use labels like this, and some people can be quite put off by the idea of evangelism. But it's quite a simple idea in the idea that it's... The Greek word is about being a messenger, and I find this really helpful. So I put up the town crier as a bit of a visual prompt for us to remember this idea about what we're talking about. But in Roman times, there would have been people with specific roles that would have run between the cities and stood up in the central squares and then brought a message, delivered a message to the people. And that's the kind of idea that this word evangelism is trying to communicate to us. It's this idea that we carry a message. We don't make up the message. It's not our message, but we carry a message to others. And then we are encouraged to speak it out, not to hold it into ourselves, but to speak it out. One of the challenges about evangelism is that it can be quite daunting. And I love this description that Mark Green said in the book, if you read the book. He said that some people view evangelism a bit like going to a trip to the dentist. And I thought this was quite a good description. We know that we're meant to go, but when we get there, we know we're meant to open our mouths, but we're afraid that when we do, we're going to get an extremely unpleasant and painful thing happen. So given a choice, he reckons that most people would choose to go to the dentist rather than to do evangelism. So I had a bit of a chuckle when I looked at that. I also went to the dentist this week, which was quite interesting. And I have to say, it's quite hard to have a faith conversation, which I did start to have with the dentist, when you've got your mouth open and he's checking his teeth with your teeth. It was quite an interesting conversation, actually, which he initiated, interestingly. And I started and then I gave up. But it was wonderful to listen to him, and he started to talk about some quite deep things about faith as he checked my teeth. And I was able to have a very brief conversation again at the end. So it's not always that bad going to the dentist. But so I don't know how you feel about this idea of sharing faith. Some of us can sort of feel that it's not really for us. And of course, there are people that are specifically gifted with the skill, the gifting of evangelism. And they really bless us as church, don't they? But we don't all have to be a Billy Graham to be able to do this. And we don't always all have to be great apologists like C.S. Lewis to do this. Those people bless us and encourage us, and God uses them in very powerful ways, and we should give thanks. But we're all called to get involved in sharing our faith. And it's not too complicated, I don't think. Basically, God is calling us just to give a reason for our hope. That's essentially what it's all about, to give a reason for our hope. So we're going to particularly look at a verse from Peter today, 1 Peter 3:15, that talks about this. And I think it's really helpful as we think about sharing our faith in our everyday situations, all of us being involved in this and feeling equipped and encouraged to be able to do this. This is what 1 Peter 3:15 says. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. So Peter's gives his friends in the churches, it's in modern day Turkey, some really helpful everyday ordinary advice for everyday ordinary Christians. He's talking to a church that's under huge cultural pressure. And as you read the letter, you can sense that there's a kind of evil pressure on the church. Peter talks about how they're living in a culture where godly values are rejected. And the church, the people in the church themselves, are under threat. Being a Christian in this context at that point was very dangerous. And I kind of see that pressure around us today in our culture that we're in. We have those types of pressure, a bit different, but it's there for us too. Yet in amongst all this, Peter encourages them not to give up, and when it's appropriate, and when they're asked, to continue to share the good news. And I think that's really helpful for us as we try and work out how to do this in our frontline places. So I'm going to pick out a few elements of this verse just to talk round. There's some really helpful advice that Peter gives to those that he's speaking to in Turkey, and hopefully it'll be useful for us. So the first one is about speaking to others because of what God has done for us. Peter talks about, but in your hearts. So this is something about sharing our faith from our hearts. If we're going to be able to share our faith with generosity and with integrity and the people that we are, it needs to be grounded. The words that we say need to be grounded in our own experience, because people will soon see through us if that's not the case. We have to be people who cultivate and are committed to a journey, a faith journey with Jesus. Even before we speak to anyone else, that has to be our foundation from which we speak to. And that means that when we do speak, we speak from an experience of actually learning from God ourselves. We speak from our experience of actually digesting God's word and making it relevant. It's something that we have done and we know about, and it's real. As we share our faith and talk about praying for others, as we share with those around us about answered prayer, it's because we have known that ourselves. It's not something abstract that we're talking about. We're talking about something that we know ourselves. So to do that, we have to be committed to our hearts revering Jesus and coming before him. It has to be the centre of where we start. The other interesting thing is that this isn't singular, this promise or this suggestion from Peter. He says, your hearts. This was spoken to a whole community. So we don't do this on our own. Sometimes we find it hard to do this, but there's others around us that can encourage us. We don't just share our stories. We share the stories of our whole Christian community, our whole church community. And that's really encouraging. So I'd really encourage you to keep sharing your faith with those around you in this room and on Zoom, because it builds us up as people, but it's something that we can also share with others. It's real experience. We do this together, not on our own. So that's the first thing, in your hearts. The second thing that Peter talks about is Christ as Lord. And I think this is another really important element that we need to hold on to as we share our faith. Because in those very, very small words, Christ as Lord, Peter is saying something to us, that Jesus Christ is in control. As we speak into a situation in our world where Jesus is Lord. So this good news that we bring, it isn't our good news, it is the good news of Jesus who is Lord. It's about him. He is in control, and we are just the messengers. And I think that takes the pressure off a little bit, really. We're sharing the good news of Jesus. It's his message, it's not our message that we're sharing. So be encouraged, don't be anxious. Get excited about joining in with what this might look like. It's not our responsibility to save people. That's God's responsibility. And it's the Bible makes it really clear that that's exactly what God wants to do. He does want to save people. But we've got this amazing privilege of carrying the news to others. And that's our role, to be the messenger and to deliver it. Nothing more. That's what we're asked to do. I think the other thing that this does is that as we invite Jesus to be Lord of our conversations, of the places that we're in, the places that we go to during the week, it also takes the pressure off, because for most of us, our frontline places are places that we go frequently. Not always. Sometimes you get a spontaneous opportunity to share faith, but they're often places that we go in time and time again. And we have time to share the good news. It's not about forcing our beliefs onto people, but it's about looking for moments when we have those privileged opportunities. And it can take time. So it's okay to have a short conversation, because there's a good chance you're going to have an opportunity again at some point. I think this is particularly important with our families, because sometimes that can be the hardest place to share our faith. They're the people that know us the best, but it's often much harder to share our faith in those contexts. And it's fine to take time to pray for our families and those that we love. And then just to use opportunities when they're given to us to share what we believe. This is in God's hands, and it's his work, and he will do it. When I was first married to Alistair, we went up to Glasgow and lived there for a few years. And I worked in a big teaching hospital in the centre of Glasgow. And I joined a team of people in quite a specialist area of healthcare. And I worked with a small group of people. We used to go all over the hospital looking for patients. So it was quite a busy work day. And I used to work very closely with a very efficient, capable nursing sister who used to scare me, actually, I think, a little bit. And I didn't really have many opportunities to share my faith with her, but I did do my best to live out my faith in the way that I treated her and others. And I probably did miss some opportunities as well. But I've been working with her for a year or two. And then one day, just out of the blue in the lift, she commented about something in me that she noticed. And it really took me by surprise. She said, Louise, I can see there's something different about you. You're nice, she said. What did she say at that point? And I thought, oh my goodness, this is the moment. Do I say anything to her about why? What has she seen in me? And so I took very unconfidently, I took that opportunity in the few seconds that the lift went up just to say something very briefly. I did my best in that situation, and it was a start. But do you know what? I think God honours those opportunities. Just when we have a go, and it's absolutely fine, we don't have to get it all right. We just have to look for those opportunities that God gives to us to share his good news, his hope, his blessing to other people. So I'd encourage you this week, look out for those moments. See if you spot them and you have an opportunity just to say some words that might encourage and bless and point people to Jesus. So the other thing that Peter says in this verse is about being prepared. And that's really what I'm going to focus on now as we just move through towards the end of the sermon now. What does being prepared look like? How can we help ourselves to do this? I think it's probably quite a good way to describe this. Well, there's a few things that Peter encourages us how it might look like. So the first thing the Bible will encourages us is to do is to pray for people. So one thing we can do is to pray for others. Over the years, I've made a commitment to pray for five people. Particularly when I was working in Portsmouth, I used to do this for several years, and I prayed for the same five work colleagues for years. And you know what was really exciting? Because I'd go in some days and I'd have a conversation or an opportunity to bless or encourage them that really felt like God had given that moment to me. And I just had some amazing opportunities to share my faith. And I'm convinced that some of it was because I prayed for them regularly. So I'd really encourage you to do that. Some of you might do it already, but be committed to pray maybe to three people. And it might be a long haul. You might have to pray for a long time. But it's amazing to see God at work when you start to look for it in people's lives and to join in with what's going on. So I'm actually praying for five people now in the village. I'm not going to tell you who they are. But it's a really positive thing that we can do. We can pray for our families and we can pray for our friends and those that we work for. So be prepared and pray. The Bible gives some good example of people being prepared and praying and then amazing things happening. So there's one of them that was encouraged me this week was looking at how an angel came to Philip and told him to go to the Gaza Road. So off he went to the Gaza Road. And then he had an amazing encounter with the Ethiopian on the road. And he took it and he saw that as a wonderful opportunity to share the good news. And the Ethiopian went away as a changed person. And I think probably had a major impact on the community that he went back to. If you look at some of the historical growth of the Ethiopian church. Being available to God like this takes a bit of faith. Sometimes it can be really exciting. Sometimes it can be really scary as well. I also thought about Ananias being asked to go and see Saul. Can you imagine what that might be like? Those of you not so sure of the story, Saul had been persecuting and killing Christians. And then the Lord spoke to Ananias and told him to go to Paul. Can you imagine that moment of Ananias saying, okay, Lord, I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to go and see this guy who's been killing us all and it's fine. But of course, Ananias did do that. He listened and he took the opportunity and he prayed for Saul, who became Paul. And of course, the rest is history. As you read the New Testament, Paul making a huge impact on the early church. So this is the first thing, pray and listen and look to what God is telling you and prompting you towards. Those moments of being interrupted can be really encouraging. This week, Leslie came into the office and shared with me a wonderful opportunity she had on her front line to speak to some roofers. And the thing that encouraged me was the joy that Leslie had as she spoke about this wonderful experience that she wasn't expecting, but had an opportunity just very briefly to share faith and to talk about church. And they've been up here fixing our roof as well. And you had a really interesting conversation with them, didn't you? But they're moments of interruption that can be a real privilege. And it's great, it's joyful to share these opportunities with one another. Being prepared also looks like caring. This is about us being respectful to those around us. having meaningful relationships with them. Peter talks about this, doesn't he, about gentleness and respectfulness. And how can we do that if we don't know people well, if we don't nurture good friendships with people? And I think that that speaks into us as a church. There's something in there about the important values of us being welcoming and offering hospitality, truthfulness, listening to others well around us as a church community, noticing those that are struggling, and being a community that we can be, that can be trusted. That's all part of this opportunity, making opportunities to speak. We have to earn the right to speak in the communities that we're in. It's really important the way we behave and what we say and how we act. And then there's the moment of actually speaking. Being prepared looks like sharing the truth. But what do you do when you get to that moment, when you open your mouth and you wait for the words to come out? I don't think this is about regurgitating a pre-learned script that we've maybe been trained to do. In the past, there was maybe training around this. And I don't think it's wrong to think out your faith and to have clear ways that you think you are going to talk about it, particularly taking out some of the jargon that a lot of people don't really understand. So we can prepare by thinking about what we believe. And I think that's really helpful. But this is about responding in a way into people's lives and speaking truth. You need to know them to be able to do this, don't you? And speaking words of truth that are going to be helpful for them as individuals. This isn't just about speaking out a script. It's about talking about the real impact of Jesus' death and his resurrection and the difference that it's made to history. This is about talking about the living God who is present with us, that we are not alone. It's about talking about the excitement and the enthusiasm of walking in the steps of Jesus and following him. It's talking in that way. It's about chatting the gospel in a real way, applying it to the situations and the context that we're in. It's about making it real. It's about making it relevant. Sometimes it just involves one short word or sentence. One well-placed word can hit the spot for another. Sometimes it means being silent and not speaking. This isn't about winning an argument. It's not about scoring points with somebody. It's about really longing for people to encounter Jesus for themselves. It's genuinely wanting people to hear the good news. That's what should motivate us. James, in his letter, encourages us to listen. He says, be quick to listen and slow to speak. And sometimes we need to do that more. We need to ask more questions before we open our mouths. When I was preparing for this, it was interesting just reading through some of the times that Jesus spoke to others. And it's fascinating if you do this, if you read through some of the Gospels, because Jesus does this in lots of different ways. He doesn't just use one formula. He really listens to people and he discerns their spirit, their spiritual state. So like when he listens or he speaks to the rich young ruler, he spends a bit of time just trying to work out where the man is in his faith or his spiritual state before he starts to speak. And then he speaks differently. He spoke really differently, say, to Nicodemus, an academic, than he did to the woman at the well. So he adjusts the way that he talks and the conversation and the way that he shares. And then sometimes Jesus, he does this quite frequently. He doesn't always give a direct answer. If you notice this, it's quite a rabbinic way of speaking, but sometimes he answers with another question, which I think is really interesting. And there are times when it's right to do that, when we need to encourage the other person to think for themselves. So we can learn a lot about how to do this by just watching how Jesus does it. So as you read the Gospels, when you're reading through the Gospels next time, just notice how Jesus tackles different conversations, because it's absolutely fascinating as you look at that. We can also use some practical things to help us. So we can use everyday opportunities and things to help us. So it's good to watch films, for example, have a view about finance, know a bit about well-being, for example. It depends who you're talking to and what your colleagues or your friends or your neighbours like. If you're involved with children, you might have a view about parenting, for example. It's about our own lives and speaking from our own experience into people's lives. We can also tell stories about ourselves, and stories are really powerful about how Jesus makes a difference to us. It's also a really gracious way to share faith with people as well, because it describes how God has changed us, how meeting Jesus, how the Holy Spirit has filled us. It's about our experience and sharing what Jesus has done and then allowing others to find things out for themselves. And the Samaritan woman does this at the well. I don't know if you've noticed this. She meets Jesus, she rushes back to the village, and she says, "Come and see the man who told me everything that I've ever done." So she speaks her own story and tells her story, and then she invites the people to come and find Jesus for themselves. And I think that's another really practical, helpful way that we can talk about our faith. And then, as I mentioned before, it is helpful for us to know for ourselves what we believe and think our faith through. We are encouraged to use our minds. It's part of worship. And for some of us here, it might be good just to revisit that. So doing Alpha or Christianity Explored again, it's fine. It's a really good experience to do it. I've just run Alpha now again this year, and every time I do it, it encourages me to go back to the basics again and think about what I believe, and it's just really helpful. And also, people asking questions, it keeps you on your toes. It's a really good thing to do. So that might be something to think about maybe for yourself if you're not so sure about the essentials, the basics. The other thing that I was thinking about today is that words don't also have to be spoken. Some of us have ministries online, and sometimes words are typed, and they're just as important as we share our faith. The way we conduct ourselves online can be a real witness to people. So for those of you that do that, I just encourage you to think about that as another place of opportunity to share faith and encourage other people and bless them. The final area just to think about what being prepared looks like, is having resources to share with people. And the two main ways that people encounter God or find God is through God's word. So it's about using scripture creatively. How can we do that? How can we share scripture with people? Might be a verse or something to give away. There's lots of resources now that people can use. I know lots of us use things like Lectio, and there's Bible apps. There's all sorts of things that we can share with others to find God. There's some great podcasts that you can listen to as well on some of the big questions of today, on sort of apologetics, if you're interested in that type of thing. There might be some films that you can point people to watch as well. So it's knowing about these things and being prepared. And then it's also, people also encounter God by being introduced to his people coming into the church. So there's lots, it's about opportunities to introduce others to other Christians. And Monica did that this week. We had a great opportunity. She's built a really good friendship with a local neighbour who's been struggling at the moment. And she invited me to come in and meet the neighbour. We had a lovely cup of tea together, and we had a huge privilege at the end to pray for this person, which I found really moving after that conversation. So we can do that as well. I'm just going to finish now by sharing a quote from the series that we've been following. That's from Mark Green, Fruitfulness on the Front Line. And I found this really helpful just to finish as we finish up now. This is what Mark says. The good news is that God made human beings for relationship with him. It usually takes time, and we may not see the results ourselves. So we pray, and we listen, and we seek to bless people, to develop relationships, and we seek to grow in knowledge and understanding of the gospel, speaking out gospel truth as the Spirit gives opportunity. And we trust in the God who is infinitely creative and who is willing that not any would perish. It's quite a powerful statement, isn't it? Right at the end of our series as we bring all this together. So I'm going to pray for us now, just for a moment, just to wrap up this message before we finish. So what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to hold in your mind someone that you feel God might be prompting you to reach out to speak to. So I'm just going to give you a second just to think of someone who might pop into your mind now that the Lord brings to you. And a few questions to ask that person in your head. What do you think is important to that person? What's important to them? What do you think they believe about God? And is there something you could do to bless them practically? I'm going to pray for us now. Father God, I thank you for this huge privilege that you've given us to be messengers of the good news. I pray you'll help us as we try to do this. Equip us, Holy Spirit, with all the resources that we need to be able to do this. Help us to be listening to you, Father, and help us to be looking for opportunities that are given from you. And then give us the confidence to step into them and to open our mouths. Father, we particularly pray now. We lift up to you the person that we're thinking of. Might be somebody that we care about, that's a good friend or a work colleague or someone in our family. We just lift them to you now. We thank you for them. We thank you that you love them deeply and that you long for them to know you. I pray, Father, for each one of us here, as we think about those people, that you will give us opportunities to share your love with them. And we just pray now for the witness of the church more widely. We pray for the church in this country where there's so much pressure to conform and to stay quiet, maybe about faith. And I pray, Father, that you will help us as a national church to have courage and to speak up for you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.